Hello and welcome to the second episode of The Adventures. Technically, second and a half because of the preview, but we'll just call it the second. Today, I'm introducing another co-host. We're not getting rid of Jake, let me tell you, I promise that. The new co-host is my cousin Isaac. And if you like Disney, let's just say he has a podcast all about Disney, so you can go check that out. It's called Think for the Phoenicians. But moving on, today is the second part of the Mount Everest series. And like I said, this could have been its very own season, but we're only touching on it right now. Maybe we'll come back to this subject later. But we shall see. Today we are going to be talking about more about the townsfolk and how they help support Everest's entire background. So this is the second episode of Mount Everest. We will also be talking about the ever-known Yeti, as they call it up there. And we'll be talking about, let's see, movies that star the Yeti. I put in a sighting of the Yeti, movies, attraction. Did I say movies? Okay, I already said movies. Oh yeah, by the way, Isaac, say hi. They might want to hear
hi
you,
so. I'm Isaac, as Kayla already introduced me.
So let's get into it, man. Okay, so he's like I said, my cousin. He's on my mom's side. He's a pretty cool guy, if I so say myself.
Thank you.
Gosh, I can't think right now. How was your week today? How was your week this week?
It was very good. Thank you for asking, Kale.
I'm messing up over here. All right, Isaac, take it away.
Okay. Today we're going to begin by talking about the townsfolk, as Kale had already said. But there are several groups of people that reside at the base. The Sherpas people are the most known to foreigners. The word Sherpa is normally known to be used as a short term for mountain guide, but it actually refers to the ethnic group of people that we are talking about. These people love to the mountain and give important information and guides to those who want to climb it.
And let's just say, to those who want to climb it, they're pretty crazy. And you'll see why in a second. But it's... Mount Everest is... It's a tall mountain, guys. It's pretty tall.
It's the tallest mountain on land.
Exactly. You remembered what I said in my last... Remember that, guys. Tallest mountain on land, not in the world, because there's the one in the ocean, the... I forgot its name, but...
Chimichanga.
No, not Chimichanga. That's a taco. It's a taco, okay.
About Chimichanga.
Chimichanga. There probably, honestly, is a mountain called Chimichanga.
If there isn't, I want to name one.
I wonder if you can go, bite it. I don't know.
They probably grow chimichangas on their mountain.
Yeah, okay, moving on. The Sherpa are the most experienced people to climb Mount Everest. It is even said that it is almost impossible to summit the mountain without their guidance and help. And I believe that because... I believe that because the sad fact is that that's one of their main jobs, right? Climbing and guiding the mountain, that they're able to do up at the harsh mountain, in the harsh mountain range and in the area that they live in, because it's, you know, so high up from anywhere else. The even sadder part is that they get paid extremely little money for each guided tour. Honestly, I wouldn't call it a tour because it's not, anybody can't really do it, right? It's an expedition. But they get paid so little for having to endure and risk so much each time they go up the mountain. And the person I think who summited the most was summited it 24 times, I think is what it was in the last episode. But if you're listening to this episode before the one before the first Mount Everest episode, you're probably really confused and questioning, like, what are these guys talking about? You know? And a Mount Everest guide, I said this in the last episode, but it's one of the, is to be known as one of the most dangerous jobs ever in the entire world.
Although mountaineering is the most common of the jobs for the Sherpas, there are other ones that aren't as risk-taking. They also do farming, herding, and trade. Those are a few of the other most common jobs that they take. One cool fact about the Sherpa people is that they live at such a high altitude, more than 14,700 feet. That is extremely insane. They have good oxygen levels and are able to breathe just fine at such a high altitude.
Because it's cool that the human body is able to adapt.
Yeah.
Right? That's really true. Easily. They're able to...
They've probably grown up on that mountain.
Well, yeah. Around that mountain. They've had
so,
to...
So they're... baby and stuff.
Yeah, as a child, that's the where how they lived. And for those of you who live in Utah, Mount Timpanogos. So they live at 14,700 feet. Mount Timpanogos is... here, even I can search it up really quick. How tall is Mount Timpanogos? That's how Siri says it. But Mount Timpanogos is 11,753 feet. So they live...
higher than that.
Almost 3,000 feet higher. That's crazy. Is that a mile higher? That's not a mile. 5,720 feet is a mile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. But...
but they live higher than
mine. They live, and those who've hiked Mount Timpanogos, you know, your oxygen level gets pretty low when you start getting to the top. And living as a Sherpa, they live 14,000 feet above that, you know? And they sat, and they breathe perfectly fine. That's insane how amazing the human body adapts, right? So, the Sherpa people are truly incredible. And it's crazy how well the human body is able to adapt to different environments. We didn't talk about environments, but they can, and altitudes. The Sherpa have lived over 14,700 feet for about 6,000 years. That is crazy. well, that's enough about the people. If you want to go search them up there, you can go look at and how they live and... even if you wanted to get a guide going for Mount Everest, if you want to go climb it. But that is enough about the people. And now let's talk about what we've all been waiting for since the beginning of this episode, 8 whole minutes ago.
And probably the last episode, the first episode.
They probably were like,
I want to hear about the
Yeti. Yeah. The Yeti, man. The Yeti. Okay, the sorry. Yeti. Sorry if I just broke yours. I'm sorry. you could also refer to it as the Abominable Snowman, Bigfoot, Skunk Ape, or the Sasquatch. I'm sure most of you don't know what the Skunk Ape is, but that's what they refer it to in South America. We will call it the Yeti. We'll call it the Yeti. For most of the episode. But we'll refer to Bigfoot also. So the Yeti has been part of several movies, shorts or skits, if you want to call them, or even attractions at amusement parks, if you can know what I'm referring to. So first, let's talk about all the movies the Yeti has starred in or has been referred to. So I want to start with a tribute to all the movies starring Bigfoot. So we're talking about Bigfoot now. The first and the most important movie ever in the entire world is everyone's hopefully favorite movie, You know what it is. I hope you know what I'm going to say. You probably don't because it's past Christmas time. Oh, hint. Haha.
Now you know exactly what he's going to say.
Elf, baby. Elf. I know you're thinking that what the heck does Elf have to do anything with Bigfoot because it's the Christmas movie. And you know, it's like he's in New York and stuff and blah, 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 blah. Well, I need you to think more towards the end of the movie when he makes the exact same famous pose that Bigfoot might have made. We don't know if it's real or not. That was posted in the New York Times paper. So, Elf, or what's his name?
Buddy.
Buddy. Crap, why did I forget that? I feel sad now. But, Buddy makes this pose when walking around Central Park looking for Santa's lost booster rocket. And it's the one where he's walking and his arms are spread wide, like, you know, walking in theater, walking motion. I wish I can't show it to you, you know? But the picture was taken in the movie by some random person who was in the park at the time. And this all hopefully gives you a big laugh out of the 50 times you laughed in the entire show. Or movie, I should call it, when it happens. It's funny. How do you feel about Elf?
I love Elf. It's really great. And I've noticed this pose many times. And I'm like, that's the Bigfoot pose. I already know that. And I think that Elf is such a great movie. And I love that they tributed to this great, monstrous creature that is supposed to roam the Himalayas.
Or
Everest?
Pretty much, I don't, or anywhere else, you know? But Elf, if you haven't seen Elf.
You have no life.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. You have a life. Everybody has a life, I promise. Everybody has a purpose in this world.
Well, everyone has a purpose, but they just haven't had a childhood.
No, that sounds, okay, just stop. No, if you haven't seen Elf, you're missing out, man. You're missing out on the greatest movie of all time.
You're a really sad person.
Or, oh my gosh, Isaac, stop being so negative all the time. I'm just kidding. But Elf is hilarious. And also another hilarious movie, if you haven't seen it, is Nacho Libre. Of course, Nacho Libre.
Why does that have anything to do with Mount Everest?
It doesn't. I'm just talking about funny movies, okay? But yeah, Elf is a great movie, and be looking out for that tribute next time you see it, which will probably be in almost a year because it's just past Christmas time. But
I mean, actually, unless you want to go watch the movie right now.
I know, you can watch it any time of the year and just, you know, get your giggles out. Your giggles. Or when you're sad, you can go laugh and be happy. Oh, by the way, I sang about happy. Go check out my other podcast called Share a Little Happiness. You know, make that tribute there. Share a Little Happiness. It's great. If you're feeling down today or feeling down tomorrow.
By my comments about you not having a life.
No, Kate, stop. Bro. No.
Don't go listen to the one that I'm in.
No, that's the most popular one. You can't go listen to that one. Go listen to Disney Pals and you will hear Isaac in that one. But let's get back on topic real quick. So,
another huge tribute to the Yeti was the movie called Smallfoot, which personally I haven't seen. What this movie portrays is they flip the script between the Yeti and us humans. It started by talking about how the Yeti community run their town up in the mountains.
The Himalayas.
Then one Yeti named Migo.
Migo.
Travels down into a human town at the base of the mountain where he lives. Then Migo finds an amazing discovery when he meets the gang and gains the trust of a human named Percy. And finds that his foot is small.
It's a human! Dun dun dun! Whoa, that's crazy. I didn't know that there were humans. That's, what? No way.
Yeah, no way. that's why the movie is called Smallfoot. This is a very funny movie, and we would definitely recommend you watch it. I should go watch it. The movie came out in 2018 and stars Zendaya and Channing Tatum.
Tatum? Whatever, I don't know. Tatum. I think it's Tatum.
Both as main characters. It is on several different streaming services like Peacock, Vudu, and is available to rent on Redbox.
Okay, wait. I put Redbox on here And then after I put it on, I was like, who uses Redbox anymore? I mean, there probably are some of you that
you just rent them on, like, iTunes.
Or buy them, because Smallfoot, I don't think Smallfoot's that much money anymore. But maybe rent it for your first time, and then if you like it, you can get it and watch it again, you know? But keep on going.
Another great movie is called Abominable, which finds a girl named Yi, who finds a Yeti on the top of her apartment roof in China. They find that the Yeti has mystical powers, and plus her friends want to reunite the lost Yeti with its family. Though they run into trouble with a few other people trying to capture this beast and for scientific purposes, we would also recommend this movie and hope you watch it. I haven't watched that movie either.
Oh my gosh. You gotta watch these movies, Isaac. Gotta set an example. I've watched both of these. I think Smallfoot's pretty good. I didn't really understand. I didn't really understand Abominable, honestly. But honestly, go check them out. They're good. They're good movies.
Now this movie I have seen.
Okay. Listen up, you people of the Adventures Podcast. You should all know this film by now. If you haven't heard of this film, bro,
you have a sad life.
Oh my god. Okay, I gotta stop bringing up this topic so Isaac can stop
being crazy. And you need to go listen to the Happiness Podcast.
Okay, let's just keep going. So, there is one more movie that we that should be known to those of you listening, like I said, and definitely should. If it isn't, then wow, don't say anything, okay? yes, it is a Disney Pixar film, and if you guessed after I just said that, it's Monsters, Inc. Of course, the Abominable Snowman had to be recognized in this movie because the title is literally Monsters, Inc. The Abominable Snowman is definitely seen as a monster. Hopefully. I don't know. Well, in the movie Abominable was shown as like a nice, cute creature that won't hurt anybody, that loves you and hugs you and has magical abilities.
With yee.
Oh my god. Okay, we're gonna go away from that now. Okay, so in the movie, we first see him when Mike and Sully, the two main characters, get banished into the Himalayan mountains after, what's the spider guy? The crab spider guy's name?
Mr. Waternose.
Wait. Yeah, after Mr. Waternose goes cuckoo and throws him out because of the little girl Boo. The Abominable Snowman is first introduced towering over them, which, honestly, if you were a human and that was happening, you'd start screaming, probably. But after he's towering over them, he offers the two snow cones.
And says, "Welcome to the Himalayas!"
Hopefully that didn't break your ears. Sorry. I would say that it took quite an unexpected turn there, because it's the Abominable Snowman, and everybody sees it as a ape man.
Creature.
Creature, fiend, who is kind of a scary guy, you know? But, I do really enjoy how the Disney portrays him in this film. He's just a funny character, and he gives comedic relief.
Yeah.
From everything that just happened.
Definitely.
After Waternoose went cuckoo, he gives comedic relief and offers them yellow snow cones, which is a little bit suspicious, but
he's like, it's lemon.
It's lemon. And then Mike starts throwing them at Sully, so. But maybe in this movie, maybe we shouldn't be so afraid of him. Maybe he just might want to offer us some snow cones,
some
right?
Yellow ones.
Maybe he wants to offer some purple snow cones, right? Oh, purple,
grape ones. Yeah.
The grape, the most disgusting flavor in all of icicle snow cone history. But he is also shown in Monsters University, that movie, same universe. We would definitely recommend this movie because it has a great story to see a spooky monster coming to love a little girl, meaning
Boo.
Boo. Boo's
the
Boo.
No.
Okay, not yee. Okay, please just stop saying that. Okay, but Boo and Sully is the one who comes, the spooky monster with purple polka dots all over him, with horns. Do you like Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, you also forgot to mention Monsters at Work. Have you seen that movie? I mean, that TV show?
Don't watch it.
It's good.
It's okay.
No,
okay?
It's good. No, it's okay. I liked it.
What does the Abominable Snowman even do in that? What is he?
He's like the professional snow cone seller at Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah, he gives all the employees snow cones the whole time. Man, this Abominable Snowman is...
very generous.
No, he just likes snow cones, right?
Okay. this next one won't be known to a lot of you, but the new cast of Studio C made a Yeti sketch.
So... go ahead.
To tell those of all of you who don't know who Studio is, once again, you don't have a life.
Oh my god. Okay, no, stop. Shh. Okay. It's Studio C, and yes, you definitely... if you're lit, no. Isaac,
you were
Isaac.
Gonna say it.
Isaac, stop.
Okay.
But it's... Studio C. Keep going.
Yeah. Anyways, so we will give you a little more information. Studio C is a comedy production that BYU University overlooks.
In Utah.
They have made hundreds of hilarious sketches and still do them to this day. Although a lot of the people did like the old cast of Studio C better than the new one, me personally. The newer cast is still funny. The older cast did start the first 10 seasons of Studio C. However, I think that it's hard to take in different people that we haven't quite yet come to love as much as the older cast.
So that's meaning, like, you know, it's sad to see the older cast go because they were there for 10 whole seasons, right? And to see this new cast come in, everybody was like, oh, look at these guys. These guys aren't... I mean, no, they came in and they... didn't really pay attention to them all that much because the old cast left and made, what was it?
Oh, JK.
JK Studios. If anybody from Studio C is listening to this, you should not do JK Studios. I think Jason is actually going back to Studio C.
I think he is too.
Yeah. So,
which should make it more fun.
And Jason is the funniest. Or Jason and Matt.
What about Mallory and Whitney?
Mallory is hilarious. And Whitney's pretty good too, but, keep on going.
Now let's get back to what we were talking about. In the sketch, that Studio C made, it portrayed Bigfoot in a work setting acting like a normal person. So it was like Monsters University, basically.
No, acting like a regular human.
Acting like a normal person.
So okay. A human acting like a human, yeah.
Although, of course, he is a lot taller and hairier than everyone else. People see him as a regular person. We really couldn't explain everything to you, so go and check it out for yourself on BYU TV or YouTube. I also haven't seen the sketch because I don't watch the newer sketches that
well much. Honestly,
so, basically, I don't have a wife.
No, oh my gosh.
I don't. I said I don't. I didn't say they did it, and trust me, you guys have a life. Let me just say that. I was just teasing.
She is just teasing, right?
Okay. I like to tease.
But, excuse me. It's really funny because the cops come into the work setting and they're like talking about, oh, Bigfoot was sighted here. Oh, we have his footprint. And then Bigfoot is acting suspicious But then they take away Bigfoot's boss instead. So Bigfoot is safe and sound, still working at that workplace. So nobody worry for him. He'll be perfectly fine. Other than the movies and skits, there is one more extremely important topic that includes the Yeti. Amusement park rides.
Yes.
Of course we have to talk about this, you know? The two of them that I recall were both made by Disney. There probably are some others that I haven't put in, but the two that I am, that we are going to be talking about are made by Disney. The two are Expedition Everest and the Matterhorn.
Which, if you want to learn more about them, go over and check out the Thank the Phoenicians podcast, because we have two episodes, we have both of those as episodes.
Boom. Boom. Magical.
Magical.
Just like Disney. I mean, one of them is literally called Expedition Everest, so of course we have to talk about it in this episode. So since we're talking about Expedition Everest, let's start with it. Okay, we'll start with Expedition Everest. So this attraction is located in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
No, it's Animal Kingdom. Magic Kingdom.
Sorry. It's an Animal Kingdom for some reason. Just probably because of the...
Kingdom.
Well...
And because we'll talk about it later, but...
Yeah. It is located in the Asia section of the park, as you all could have guessed, because the Himalayas are in Asia. This mountain is actually taller than all the castles, and I got this information from Isaac's podcast, in fact.
It's taller than all everything in Walt Disney World. It's the tallest thing. Actually, maybe...
So it is taller than all the castles, you know?
Well, there's only one castle in Disney World.
But there's castles all over the world in all the other parks.
But Shanghai Disneyland's castle is bigger than this, I'm sure of it. Because it's the biggest castle. I'm sure of it. Anyways.
In every Disney park, because of this, it is required to have a red flashing light to alert planes flying over the area. Just like... hospitals.
Well, no, they don't have the red flashing light. They just don't want... They put it right under...
No, you said the castle.
No.
Yeah, you were talking about the castle.
Well, the castles don't have them, and Mount Everest doesn't have them. Like, Expedition Everest, because Mount Everest, I'm sure, does. Or they just know that Mount Everest is right there, because otherwise we'll see many plane crashes. Anyways... And so, basically, it's everything 200 feet and over. That's when they put the red blinking lights on them.
Okay. Well, so, apparently my information was wrong. So...
Well, it's my bad because you got it from my podcast. So, thank you for that correction for my podcast.
Anyways. Okay. This coaster... Yes, it is a roller coaster. I did not mention that, but it is so much fun. It goes forward, which makes sense because it's a roller coaster. But the cool part is that it goes backwards, which makes it a top-notch attraction that everyone should ride when you're there, unless you get nauseous on roller coasters or you don't want to, I guess. But... The story of the ride is that you are a mountaineer riding a train up the mountain. A train. However, the protector of this mountain, the Yeti, stops you by tearing up the track, which sends you on a thrilling chase through the mountain. You come across the Yeti once as he tries to catch you, but the train is going too fast. Or he didn't see you because you're in a dark cave.
The Disco Yeti. Woo, woo. Disco Yeti.
It is?
Yeah, because there's a blinking light. It used to just swipe down at you, but it broke because it was so high tech and they can't... They literally have to tear out a piece of the mountain just to fix it.
So they just made it
flashing light. And so now it's called the Disco Yeti. Woo, woo.
Disco Yeti. That's the basic format for the ride, but I don't want to give too much away, so you can see for yourself. Now, Isaac, let's talk about the line queue for Expedition Everest.
Okay, I can spend, 5 hours just talking about this, so you're gonna have to stop me, Kale. But it's amazing. Go ahead.
It is the coolest thing ever, honestly. So you are literally placed in the setting of walking through what it would be like when you're getting ready for an mountain, for an expedition to Everest, almost. Yeah. You're walking through Asian houses, probably what they look like up there, honestly, up in the Himalayas. You're walking through them. But
sorry, I have to input this.
No, keep going.
Joe Rohde, which is the Imagineer that was overseeing all this, he actually went to the mountain and went around into all the, to Sherpa's houses and stuff, just to get artifacts for, like, just to come up with the details for this thing.
That's so, that's cool, guys. That's cool, you know?
They literally, made, this big imprint of the Yeti's foot. It's huge. Remember that? The huge foot?
Yeah, you're not, that's, no, guys, it's not an imprint. It's the real Yeti's foot.
You gotta believe it. It's an imprint of the Yeti's foot. No,
it's real.
They're not gonna go cut off the Yeti's foot. You said it's the real Yeti's foot.
No, the Yeti, they found it. The Yeti already stepped in it, and then they found it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. An imprint, that means where it's pressed into it.
Oh.
Okay, we're just, hold on. They're not gonna cut off the Yeti's foot and put that in there.
No, we're just gonna keep going. We're just gonna keep moving along.
Anyways.
So, in this place, there's a house with bells that you can reach up and ring, which is fun. They have outside sections, but the best room is right before you get on the ride. You walk through all these cool artifacts and all these cool explanations of the room, and you have to be looking at everything extremely fast because the line moves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It is so cool. So, you're set back in, what are you set back in, the 19...
I don't know.
You're set back sometime, but it's cool because I think my favorite part is there's a part where you're going and it shows the shoes the expeditioning people would have worn back, in the first expeditions, even the tent... and all their cooking supplies, and you're looking at it, and you're like, why would they even try to attempt climbing the mountain with this shaggy, terrible gear, right?
Yeah.
Because it was so bad. It was such bad gear. But I think that's a cool part. They have two imprints of the Yeti's
foot.
Yeti's foot. What other things do they have, Isaac?
They've got, things from, they've got a tent that's, all torn up. I don't know if it's from the Yeti or from the wind up there, but it's all torn up. So they basically just show all the gear that, Kale said, that they would use. And so they've got all these things. They've got photographs. They've got all this stuff that you can just look at. Like I said, we could just spend 5 hours talking about this specific thing, but it's really cool.
They've got crusted number two.
Crusted.
They've got, I think, bear poo. Yeah. Okay, we're just going to we're going to move past this subject. But they've got cool knives. They've got some old pots in there. After you leave this room, right before you get on the ride, they have all these pictures and cool facts on each of the pictures. Like, first group to... make it up Everest, right? But really, this queue line is really cool.
So would you consider the Yeti an ape or a monster, Kale?
I would consider both.
Both.
It's abnormal. A monstrous
ape. There.
If it's even real, you know? But people have seen it, apparently, but... they probably just went up into the mountains one day and they're like, oh, I should come back and I should be like, I saw the Yeti, I saw the I saw Bigfoot, I saw the Abominable Snowman.
And ye.
And ye. Okay.
Ye. Anyways.
But let's keep moving along.
Okay. So another popular attraction, like we Kale said, was the Matterhorn, which is located at Disneyland. This attraction is based off of the name Abominable Snowman. By the way, so you can find this attraction in Fantasyland, and it really just explains that Abominable is sort of a fantasy. This is a roller coaster type ride where you're seated in bobsleds.
So here's the thing. You can see Matterhorn pretty much everywhere in the Disney park because it is one of the tallest in Disneyland.
It's taller than the castle.
Okay, it's taller than the castle.
So it's the tallest thing in Disneyland, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. It might, well, probably not Tower of Terror because Tower of Terror is in California Adventure, but... Well,
it's Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Yeah, whatever. Nobody likes that. I'm just kidding. Probably some people do, but I don't, personally.
I think Tower of Terror
is better. I'm sad Tower of Terror's gone. If you want to ride Tower of Terror, go to Disney World. And while you're at Disney World, go ride Expedition Everest.
And get a churro.
And get a churro.
And bring it back.
Yes, get a churro and bring it back after 5 days. And then eat it. Or give it to Isaac.
Yeah, I want a churro. Anyways.
It really doesn't explain why it's in Fantasyland. But it makes sense, because the Abominable Snowman is sort of a fantasy, if you know what I mean.
So this ride is extremely uncomfortable to ride.
It is.
Because it's so bumpity, bumpy and rickety. I was mixing bumpy and rickety together. So we made a new word, bumpity. It literally feels like you are riding down an uneven ice path. You are riding past Abominable multiple times during this ride.
We're calling it Abominable because I hate saying the Abominable Snowman.
Just say Harold. That's its official name.
Harold?
Harold the Abominable Snowman, or Harold the Yeti.
Oh, shoot, we are still calling it Harold now. Okay, we're calling it Harold. Harold, guys. We're talking about Harold.
So you ride past, like I said, Harold multiple times during the ride. There's two different tracks that come across each other every now and then during the ride. So you're able to have fun yet painful ride experience. One of the tracks even has a water section at the end of it that they used to have hay to stop down. Because they use the water to stop down the... bobsled.
Yeah.
But they used to have hay. Like, what horses
that's,
eat.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So, it has a water section at the end of it. This is a great ride that you should just go on at least once each time you visit Disney to wake your family up in the morning. That's very smart.
Yeah, to wake your family up because it's so bumpy that they'll bang their heads and awake they go. But it's cool because in this ride, you're able to experience a different ride two times because it has two different tracks.
So you have to go on both.
You have to go on it twice, even though you might not want to after the first time. Probably because you know why.
Well, I enjoy it. Like, I want to go on it multiple times.
I know. It is fun, right? It's fun to go on. It's
a long line, though.
It does. It usually has, like, a 1 hour line.
Yeah.
Sadly, this
is... Sorry. I just have to talk about this book. It's called Peak. It's like a science fiction novel. Or a realistic fiction, I should say. More like that, where it's about this boy that climbs up Mount Everest, and he would be the youngest one. Because he's, like, turning 13. He's turning 14. Like, right... So he's trying to make it up before he turns 14. Because then he'd be the youngest person to climb Mount Everest. Anyways,
that's a good book. This kid? There's a kid doing this, right?
Yeah.
Actual, right? Like, right now?
No. Oh. This is a realistic fiction. It's a fiction novel. Anyways, you should go read it, Kale. I actually have it. I haven't finished it, though. I need to go home and finish it.
Well, moving on. So, I forgot to say this, but... if you want to get into more of the Abominable Snowman, there, like I said last time, I actually didn't say this last time, but last time I said you can go watch Lost on Everest, and Isaac did watch that.
Oh, it's so great.
It's so great. But there is an actual documentary about the Abominable Snowman on Disney Plus as well.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, part of it.
Because it's interesting. I think it's called Finding
Abominable Snowman. Abominable. Or
Finding Bigfoot. I think it's Finding Bigfoot, Discovering Bigfoot. But it's cool. You should go check that out if you want to.
Yeah.
But, sadly, this is the end of our expedition towards Everest.
Cry.
Cry. Thank you so much for joining us yes, on the adventures. Yes, thank you. Please share this with your friends and family. Oh my gosh. No. Please share this with your friends and family. So, share this with anybody that you can think of, or even on social media, about how you think our podcast is doing. Yeah, share on social media how you think our podcast is doing. We really appreciate all your support, and don't forget that you can contact us at findadventureanywhere@gmail.com.
Okay, please.
No caps, no spaces on that. Again, findadventureanywhere@gmail.com. No caps, no spaces.
Please leave us a review about how you think we are doing, or even give us suggestions for what amazing places we should talk about next. Thank you for tuning in, and remember,
adventure is out there! Caw-caw!
Roar!
Hope that didn't break your ears again.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll do it quiet, a little bit quieter next time, but that is a tribute to Up, the movie. That's what Russell does for his junior adventure scouts, but we'll say that at the end of every podcast now. But see you guys later. Tune in next time.
See you.
Bye.